Welcome to A Woman's Heart. This is Lisa Granger. Could you use some more hope in your life? I chose some of my favorite hope verses to share with you. To get a free printable version of these verses, please go to my website, lisagranger.com, and click on the Verses of Hope. Hope and joy can go together to make a very powerful difference in our lives. Our guest, Doris Swift, knows about some of the things that can steal our joy. Doris explains the lessons that she learned in Luke 15 in her book, Surrender the Joy Stealers, Rediscover the Jesus Joy in You. Be encouraged by our conversation with Doris Swift. Welcome to A Woman's Heart. We are very blessed to have with us today Doris Swift and her beautiful shining face that unfortunately you can't see. But thanks so much for joining us today, Doris.
I am so excited to be here and thank you for having me. And I would love to share some encouragement with your listeners today.
Well, I am sure that you will because I don't think you can help but be encouraging. It's always a joy to be able to have a conversation with people that I have met that I consider a friend and a sister in Christ. So I am looking forward to finishing because of life. I wasn't able to finish the book that we're going to be talking about today, Surrender the Joy Stealers. But before we dive into that, I want my audience to be able to get to know you a little better. So tell us a little bit about yourself and something fun that isn't normally in your bio.
Well, first of all, I'm a follower of Jesus, a yes. Jesus girl, and I am a wife and a mom to two adult children that are amazing. And between their two families with my daughter in love and my son in love, they have six kids. So I have six grandkids. So that's exciting.
Yes.
And
I'm an
author, and I do speaking, and I'm a podcast host. Mm-hmm. And so I really enjoy reaching out to people. And a fun fact about me probably would be that I took ballet as a young girl, and then I picked it back up as an adult, and I danced in a recital, and it was so fun and
wonderful.
Exciting. I loved it.
Oh, that's awesome. I love that. Well, I touched on earlier that you wrote a book called Surrender the Joy Stealers. And I've never known of a book to be written that had no reason behind it. So I would love to know, what's the story behind the story? Why did you want to write this Bible study?
Sure. Well, I'm also on staff at my church, and mm-hmm. I do lay counseling, and I'm a discipleship mentor, and I've counseled women over the years, and I was the women's ministry director years back, and just countless women have thought that just because where they've been or what they've done or what's been done to them, that they can't be used by God. And So at a women's event I was speaking at, I asked the women to just write on a little slip of paper what threatened to steal their joy that day, because I was speaking on joy.
Okay.
And I didn't know how many women would actually participate, you know, when the speaker tells you to do
you never know.
Crazy things. But it was amazing, Lisa, because just about every woman in the entire room wrote something on their paper, and several wrote more than one. Mm. And so they were told if they could please come forward and drop those into a box up front and to pick up a white carnation, kind of an exchange for, I'm exchanging what's threatening to steal my joy today,
yeah.
my joy stealers, and receiving God's joy and peace, and I'm going to just surrender it. So it was an act of surrender to get out of your seat and bring it forward. And that was back in, 2013, I believe it was, 2014. Mm. So it was years ago that this event actually happened. And it really is the basis of the book. And the book is rooted, it's a Bible study, a six-week Bible study. It's rooted in John 15, although we do study other parts of the Bible that kind of mesh into all of it. Mm-hmm. And it just begins with reveal. Week one is reveal. So it gives an opportunity for women to actually pray about what is threatening to steal their joy. Because oftentimes the things that we think it might be, or the behaviors that we have going on or whatever, are really something that's kind of manifesting from a deeper rooted joy stealer that we haven't yet surrendered to God.
Yeah. And it's hard to kind of fix it or dig it out or even deal with it if you don't know what it is. It's sometimes frequently I know if there's something going on and you don't know, and that's the most frustrating thing, because if you don't know what it is, how do you do something with it if you don't even know what it is? So, yeah, you kind of have to figure out what it is. And I love how you did. You talked us through that week and such about how to look at them and then look at them a little deeper. In chapter one, you talked about and all of the different things that they wrote down. And the line that I loved in here was, our devastation becomes our destiny if we allow the joy stealers to steer our ships, which isn't God's desire for us. Mm-hmm. I underlined that one. That one really, because I think we do, because we can sometimes let those little things somewhat define us. And then we get stuck there and we get labeled. We either label ourselves or somebody else labels us. And, you know, as far as that goes, talk to us a little bit more about how once we reveal it and then we go to the next step and we move on.
Right. Yes. Revealing is so important, like you said, Lisa, that sometimes we don't know even what it is, and we can pray and ask the Lord to reveal it to us, because, you know, at times we'll go, I don't even know what's wrong with me. I don't know what's wrong with me. And we don't even realize it's something that maybe stems from our past. But once we do identify those things and reveal them, then we can take some kind of action. Mm-hmm. And the second week is respond, and respond is surrendering.
Yes.
So in that week, we do the work of surrendering those joy stealers to God and to not continually take them back. It doesn't mean that it's not going to still be there, because oftentimes God will walk us through a storm. He doesn't always calm the storm. Sometimes he's with us through the storm. So it won't necessarily change our circumstances, but it changes our perspective and it changes our hearts. So surrender is the next key thing that we need to do once we identify what threatens to steal our joy. And it could be family, it could be relationships, it could be all kinds of different things, finances, health issues. There's so many things. And actually a lot of what I talk about in the study were from those slips of paper that the women shared. Mm-hmm. So I can put them into specific categories, because although our stories may be different, we are all united with the same things that we go through. So it might not be the same diagnosis, or it might not be the same relationship breakdown, but still it's in those specific types of categories that we go through.
Yeah, and you're right. Even though our stories may not be very the same, there are still very much similarities in it. And we mentioned surrendering. I always laugh. There's a Joyce Meyer quote where she says, the problem with the living sacrifice is it wants to keep crawling off the altar. And and we do. We go, okay, here you go, God. Oh, no, wait a minute. Let me take that part back. Or you're not fixing it fast enough, so I want to do that. And it is. It's really kind of hard to let go. But I'm finding that when we do, there's a freedom there of really, you know, when we stop taking it back. And have you found that when you really do let it go and you stop trying to get it back and control it, which we can't control, that feeling of freedom is there?
Yes. Yes, that's a key word you just said there, Lisa. And we talk about that in the study as well, control. Mm-hmm. Because we might not consider ourselves controlling people, but we do like to have control. We do like to know what's going to happen. We do like to try to take things on ourselves and make and fix things. Especially as women, we feel like we need to fix everything. But it's so freeing to realize that we're not called to fix everything, that we can surrender it to God. And once we do, it's true, we do experience a freedom and a peace that is like no other. It's supernatural. It's not even something the world can offer. And, you know, especially say, for example, if you have a prodigal child, that is a painful thing.
Yeah.
That is so painful. But when we release and surrender that to the Lord, we can be encouraged that God knows, and God sees our every tear that we shed, and he keeps them, you know. And it's so encouraging to us that God loves the people that we love even more than we do. If we can even imagine that, but that's what it brings. It does bring freedom. And, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean that circumstances will change right now or in 5 years or 10 years, or they may never change in the way that we would hope that they would, but God is still good no matter what. And he can use it all for his purposes and his glory.
Yeah, I loved where you talked about that even though things may not change, we can still have joy in the middle of it all. And it was probably when you were talking about the emotions, which I'd say that my emotions are my superpower and my kryptonite at the same time. And I like how you pointed out that I think it was the positive emotions you can feel, the negative emotions reveal, because God did give us our emotions. It's not that we're going to go, oh, emotions are bad, we should stuff them and not feel them at all. Is we should listen to what they're saying, just not let them necessarily steer the ship or drive the car.
Yes. Yeah, so true. And we can't always make the best decisions when we're in the middle of an emotional state. Mm-hmm. So we can't let our emotions steer the ship, but we do know that God has given us emotions, that God has emotions too. And we see it in scripture. And I think I share a lot of different passages that show that. And so he understands. And yeah, so negative emotions, while it may not be necessarily sinful, like, you know, and the word says, in your anger, do not sin. But yeah, if it leads to something further, or if we're angry, but maybe if we're bitter or we're having some kind of, an emotion that is more of life taking, life sucking than life giving, we know that there's some kind of an issue there. And what is the real issue? And getting to the bottom of that issue is so important.
Yeah, I think it is. And I remember listening to something the other day that on a podcast about that anger is really kind of that a warning that we either have an unmet need that we haven't expressed or haven't been allowed to express, or it's an indication that there's something wrong that we need to deal with. Not so much like, okay, I'm just angry for the sake of anger. You know, when I look at, okay, I'm really angry, why? That's usually the secondary emotion. Mm-hmm. Talking about anger. That's usually the secondary emotion, and there's something else underneath that's causing that. And it may be a righteous, oh my gosh, that was so wrong. That person got hurt. That wasn't right. It's kind of a righteous anger, and it may spur us to do something for someone, help someone out, and that's a good thing, you know. So that is a good. Or it may go, oh man, this wasn't either standing up for ourselves and no, don't speak to me that, don't treat me that way, or I have something that I need. I have a need of some sort that needs to get met, and we can just more calmly and rationally express that need and have it built. Yes. So then chances are we aren't so angry anymore.
Yeah, that's so true. And I love how you brought those different ways that we can experience anger and maybe where they stem from, because it is true. It could spur us on. Like I like to say, when I have guests on my show, which you will be a guest on my show, I ask the guests where they're taking action, where their passion, compassion, and conviction intersect, because it does spur us on to do something more. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and sometimes it might take better communication. We may have misunderstood something. Mm-hmm. Maybe we thought something for years that wasn't even true. And we can really discover that what we believed was a lie, and communication is important. And so that's so important there, or even just a change in our perspective, because it may be our own pride perhaps that is causing it. So that's something that can be a little sticky.
Yeah, I was going to say, darn it.
Right?
I don't like that part. I don't like that part where every now and again I'm going, but, and God's going, yeah, girl, no, you're not right. No, that one's on you. I'm like, but I want to blame it on somebody else. I want to make it somebody else's issue. I don't want to own that one.
Exactly. Yeah. Because it's all about me, right? No.
Yeah. No, not at all. Not at all. So, oh my gosh. But then one of the other weeks, you talk about receiving. And you talk about receiving in a lot of different things. But that was at, I think it was a Mary Kay thing. And one of the speakers stood up and said, I want you to open your hands and I want you to say, receive, receive, receive. because I think that there are times, maybe nobody else has dealt with this. For me, I have a lot of information in my head, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it is connected with my heart and that I've actually received it and live like it. And so I love when you talk about the receive and then you were abiding, and there's a lot of different kinds of receiving. That's not really the main point of that particular week. But can you go into more about how that receiving and really taking in all that God has for us, not just keeping it out there and going, oh, yes, that's knowledge. That sounds good.
Yes, yes. The main scripture of the study overall is John 15, 11, where he says that I tell you all these things. He talks about abiding in him and all of this. He says, I tell you all these things that my joy would be in you, that your joy may be full. Mm-hmm. And so when we think about receiving, we're always waiting for something to come, to receive it. But we can also stop and receive what God has already given us. Like Jesus has already given us his joy, that our joy would be full. And so if we open our eyes and our hearts to that, then we can freely receive what he wants to give, what he wants to do in our lives, and what he's already done and what he's already given. So sometimes we miss the receiving part. We are also oftentimes the givers. We give, and kind of deplete ourselves. And remembering that we too need to receive. Perhaps God gives a word to a sister in Christ to give us a call or, at just the right time. Mm-hmm. So let's receive those things as divine appointments and gifts from God. Yeah. But overall, his joy is our strength. And so receiving his joy, and as you said earlier, going through the study, a lot of it is also focusing on we can have joy regardless of the circumstances we're walking through.
Yes.
That our joy is constant because it's not the same as being happy, and our emotions can't tell us whether we have true joy or not because it doesn't measure our joy because our joy has been given to us through Jesus. And so just that is the main message, I believe, in the week of receive, although there's other things that we cover as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I know, and I'm thinking about, and I know you have recently gone through some difficult things that were not very joyful, and yet you still have a beautiful smile and you still have a joy about you, even though I know that there's been some, kind of yucky stuff. And that's one of the things that it is. Sometimes it's hard. I remember going through a difficult time and I was not smiling. And finally something really funny happened. And I remember thinking, oh my gosh, this feels so good to laugh and be able to have some joy even in the midst of the yuck, because it's like you just stay there sometimes too long and it's yuck. But your smile is beautiful and it is joyful, and you have received that in the midst of everything else. And then the next part is it does, that lightness, it renews us. It renews us and allows us to do the other things you talk about, which is resting and then reaching. And I'm trying to, we'll go to rest. Talk about how important that is on it all, because I don't want to give all of it away. They need to get the book and do it themselves and learn it as well. But I know at the beginning of the year, I thought, oh, new year, I won't have anything to do. I'll catch up on everything. And oh, baby, it just started off at warp speed again.
Right?
Yes.
I know, we have good intentions.
Yes.
Rest is so important. That's why it was important to have it as part of the steps, because what the weeks do is from week one through week six, it takes us on a journey of revealing our joy stealers, surrendering them to God, realizing that it's the Lord that actually bears fruit through and, in and through us, that we don't produce the fruit. We just are willing and say yes and use our gifts. And rest is so important, and not just a nap on the couch, but
although sometimes that is helpful. That helped me yesterday.
Yes, it's good to take naps. Naps are good. I don't know why it's so backwards. Like, kids take naps and adults are
Wish
not expected to take naps.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kids don't want to take naps.
Yes.
Then we get older, we want to take them and we can't. So yes. I don't get that. But I really love the fact that focusing on rest is so important, and deep down to the soul kind of rest. There's so many different rests, like Sabbath rest. And so we cover that and the importance of it, because if we're not a rested disciple of Jesus, we're not going to be able to do what he's calling us to do, because we're going to exhaust ourselves. And, you know, rest can also mean setting boundaries, knowing when to say no, because sometimes it is also a no to good things.
Yeah.
When to lay stuff down, you know, even if it's good things, because it may not be that season any longer. And so it's really hard, but sometimes we need to just listen to God's voice in our spirit and just know when he's calling us to a time of rest. It might be like when, you know, you had talked about some joy stories. My dad recently passed away, went to be with Jesus in November, and his service was December. And I took a break from the podcast because it was just a lot to do at that time. And it's okay to take a rest.
Yeah.
It's okay to just step back and not feel like we have to do, because God did create good works in advance for us to do, but he doesn't love us because of the works that we do.
Yeah.
He just loves us because of who he is and who we are, and we're his kids and his children. He created us. So he calls us to rest, and he was the best example of rest.
Yeah. And I was reminded years ago that if we can't get everything done on our list in a day, that list didn't come from God. And I remember hearing that and going, oh, ouch. So if I can't get everything done, that list didn't come from God. I'm like, oh, okay. He's a God of order. And I know this morning I was like, okay, Lord, you are not going to give me more to do today than I can get done today. So please help me realize what's from you and what's from me and what's from just other expectations. And let me then listen to you and actually do what you tell me to do. And not get sidetracked, because I very easily will be like squirrel and completely sidetracked and go, I think God was trying to tell me to do it a different way, and I didn't do it that way, which is probably why I'm so stressed. So as far as that rest goes, I think listening to him and that discernment, just when to rest, what to rest from, and really hold on to the best parts, because there's so many good things out there. It's really easy to just, you know, go off on all of them. So overall, I think we've touched on it here and there, but what are you hoping that the reader of, or the doer of this Bible study, what are you hoping that they will take away from it?
My heart is that they will see that no matter what they're going through or what they may go through, because Jesus even told us in this world we'd have trouble, but to take heart, because he has overcome the world. And so no matter what is going on in our lives, that we can be used by God. We have been given gifts and talents, and he calls us to bear much fruit, and that we are part of a wonderful community, not only of believers, but a community, right? A community with God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. We're in community. And we are the branches, and he's the vine, and he's the life giver. And so we need to abide and stay connected to the vine. So I hope it encourages women to draw closer to the Lord, but also to realize that they have gifts that the world needs, and that they have a voice, and that they have a purpose, and God has plans for them as well. And he has created good works for them to do. And so to go through the different steps in the different weeks to finally get to the place of reach. And week six is reach, which is just a way to, what is all this fruit about? And what is this calling thing about? And how can I use my gifts, and where can I use them? And I give some stories there that are really encouraging from women that I know personally. And, you know, it's to encourage women to take that journey and step out of their doubt and into their calling and with joy.
Yes, with joy. Well, you kind of already answered the other question, is what would you say to encourage that woman to then go out and reach and use all of the things that she's learned and listened to, and actually have the courage to step out and do that calling that God has placed in their heart? So what would you say to encourage them?
Yes. And I would also say that oftentimes our past might keep us back from walking forward. Mm-hmm. And just to encourage that no matter where we've been or what we've done or what's been done to us, when we are believers in Jesus and follow him, that God can use all of it because our past story doesn't discredit our grace story. It becomes part of it. Mm-hmm. And it can be used to encourage other women who are now where you've been. And maybe you're there now, and there's a woman who's been there too. So our stories connect us. And so know that God can still use us, and he wants to use our stories. Mm-hmm. And that we don't have to believe the lie of the enemy that we can't be used by God, that, oh, what did you do? Oh, look where you went, you know, and this and that. You know, those lies will keep us back, but to just walk forward and trust what God says is true about us and walk worthy in the calling with which we were called. So hopefully that encourages someone today.
Yeah. Well, and I will toss in here a lot of times when I go to conferences and I think this person has this amazing story and they were involved, they were, you know, hurt. And then the lie that I have been fighting against is that, well, my story is too ordinary. My story is too plain. It's not dramatic. There was no childhood abuse. There was no neglect of my, both of my parents, thankfully, are still around and I like them most of the time. And so I really, by many standards, have a rather normal, ordinary, and sometimes boring story. So I'm like, oh, well, I can't be used for that. And then it's like, yes, you can. Mm-hmm. So even
yes,
if we, yes, even, and then some people are like, be thankful. And I am. I'm very grateful that I don't have some other things. But that certainly doesn't mean that I don't have any other things that have gone through. But yeah, I think those lies that we get told and then somehow we take them on. And it's so important to untangle that and step into that. So yeah, it is very encouraging. Thank you for that. Now, if somebody wants to get the book, connect with you, look forward to your new podcast episodes coming out, because I know I have enjoyed listening to your podcast before. You have some wonderful guests on there, and you always ask really good questions. So how can people follow up and connect with you and get the book?
Thank you, Lisa. The book is available on most online retailers, but probably the best place to go is to my website, which is DorisSwift.com. Okay. So just my name.com.
There you go.
And there you'll find my podcast, Fierce Calling, and you'll find more information about the book and how to get a copy. And it's good for individual and group study. So you could go through it on your own, but it is really good to go through it with a group of women. And I think that people can share their stories together. It really makes it a little bit more effective, but you could do it either way.
Yeah. Well, and I think there's some accountability there when you do it in a group as
true,
well.
Yes.
Yeah. There's that lovely word.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, Doris, thank you so much. Is there anything else that you had on your heart that you wanted to share with us?
Thank you. I just want to encourage women that they have a voice and that there is a divine appointment on your calendar probably every day. And just to open your eyes and each morning as you awake, just say, Lord, I am willing. I am willing. So just show me the divine appointments you have for me today. And this way we won't miss them. Sometimes we do. So just know that there's divine appointments on God's calendar that may not be on your calendar.
Yeah. We sometimes see them as interruptions.
Yeah. Sometimes he changes our plans so we can follow his.
Yes. Yes. Well, Doris, thank you so much for your joy and your smile and your wisdom and in sharing and your encouragement today. I really appreciate you coming on and spending some time with us today.
Thank you, Lisa. God bless you and God bless whoever's listening.
Thanks so much for joining me today on A Woman's Heart with me, Lisa Granger. I hope you were encouraged by the conversation with Doris Swift to discover your joy stealers and surrender them to God. And if you're looking for some more hope, I have some of my favorite verses of hope on my website, lisagranger.com. It's a printable version of 8 verses of hope.
I appreciate you listening, and make sure to follow on your favorite podcast platform so you don't miss an episode. And please leave a rating or review. It means so much to me and helps others to find the encouragement on the podcast as well. Have a blessed day.